Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
And we are here in Los Angeles, even though we're broadcasting all over the nation. And we're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers, their two greatest players to play in the uniforms over the last 15 years or so, Kobe Bryant and LeBron James. LeBron, obviously a new Laker and regarded by just about everyone as the best player in the world. Kobe Bryant, recently retired. Some think he's the greatest Laker. I've got him at number two behind Magic Johnson. But anyway, the question is Kobe Bryant really, because he said it, that he's pulling for LeBron, he's excited for him to be here, and he wants the Lakers to win titles. His fans, those who defaced LeBron's mural, his fans, those who aren't happy about LeBron James being here, his fans, I don't think they want LeBron and the Lakers to win. Some have even said that. Rob Parker, what do you think? Does Kobe Bryant really want LeBron James to have success here with the Lakers?
I just think it's human nature. I don't think Kobe's any sinister than anybody else. You would never say it publicly, Chris. It's just not what you would do. Kobe's not going to go out like that. Because then he would be labeled as a hater.
And it's just a bad
look. It's just a bad look. It just is. You know, can you imagine him coming on Undisputed and saying that? Oh, my God.
Well, look, I agree it would be a bad look. But what I would say, though, to that, Rob, it would be in line with Kobe's image and reputation. Because his image and reputation when it comes to basketball and competition is killer.
Yes, he's a competitive guy.
I want to be the best.
There's no doubt about
it. So I think a lot of people would be like, a lot of people would applaud it. And I'm not saying he should come out and say that. But if he came out and was like, no, I don't want LeBron to succeed. This is my team. This is my legacy. I think I was better than LeBron. A lot of people get, you know, I hear all the talk about Jordan and versus LeBron. I think I should be in that conversation. So,
Kobe has tweeted that.
I'm not saying
Kobe has tweeted that he, like.
Yeah, he said it goes by rings.
Right, but he put in, like, that he was in the conversation, even though most.
Well, has he come that he's been that blunt? I don't think he's been that obvious about it. Has he?
Hey, Rob G, find a tweet where he talked about, like.
What I saw was rings.
No, you can't compare errors. But he included, like, you can't compare me, Michael and LeBron.
Well,
a conversation, but he included himself in that debate.
I know when I've asked him directly when he came back to the Staples Center last season for his jersey to be retired. I asked him, he was on the podium doing his media, and I asked him if it bothers him that, you know, LeBron is in this conversation with Jordan as the greatest of all time and people tend to overlook him. And he said, none of that bothers him. Whether this is true or not, he said, none of it bothers me. He said, because you can't decide it. He said, I'm more into things, competition, that can be discovered. Like, who's the best right now? You can't have me play against Michael Jordan. I can't play against LeBron James anymore. So,
but that's not how
that
we do it.
That doesn't matter.
I know players say that.
But that's what he said.
That's what they say when they don't want to be left out of a conversation. But that's not how sports fans, we always mix up the eras.
Helps them make money.
Exactly. Now, I mean, Rob, did I misquote him or wasn't there some quote?
You were right on there. It was a tweet. He said, tweet. We can enjoy one without tearing down one. I love what he's doing. Don't debate what can't be definitively
there
won by anyone. Enjoy my five. Enjoy MJ six. Enjoy LeBron quest.
You see what I'm saying? So he put himself in there in the greatest of all time. Because he didn't say, this is why.
Yeah, but I don't think that was, like, I think what Kobe tweeted was a logical tweet.
No, but I'm saying,
I don't think it was done to
but he didn't mention
himself some shine.
Oh, I think it
if
was.
If anything was done to shine, it was Tim Duncan. Look at the titles.
No, but he didn't look at, he didn't say like, well, Tim Duncan who has five like Kobe. He didn't mention anybody
else.
Because
the competition isn't, nobody's talking about Tim Duncan versus Jordan.
No,
Tim
no, no.
Duncan versus Kobe.
No, but I'm just saying he added himself in there where he could have easily just said, without naming himself and his, you know, just saying, you can't do, you can't compare the eras or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Period. Rather than including himself.
Well,
in
I think the subtle shot was enjoy my five and enjoy LeBron's quest. Everybody knows LeBron only has three. So he's saying, I've got more. You know,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
We bring it to you every Friday. It's time for the Celebrity Corner.
Oh, my God.
Time now for The Odd Couple Celebrity Corner.
All right, actor and comedian Cedric the Entertainer, one of my favorites, is here. In our Celebrity Corner's new show is The Neighborhood, and it airs every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on CBS. Say, what's up, man? Welcome to The Odd Couple. Now, look, before we get deep into this interview, you know you and me are part of the same fraternity, the mighty Kappa Alpha Psi, right? You know that.
Yeah, I know that, Chris. I know. I was like, you know... Yeah, that's, you know, the bros always make sure you know who plugs.
Right, right. All right, Cedric, you are from St. Louis, Missouri, which is, I guess, somewhat near Kansas City, Missouri, but you a Steelers fan? I mean, the Chiefs, this is their year. You jumping on the bandwagon with the Chiefs or what?
Man, you know, I mean, that was always hard because I grew up in St. Louis, and then we had the Cardinals for a little while when I was younger,
yep.
But that's why I was always a Steelers fan. And then we had the Rams when they were the greatest show on turf. So, you know, the Chiefs just was somebody we couldn't really ever get behind, man.
You rethinking that now, I bet, though.
Yeah. Now these boys is looking amazing out there. I'm happy for them. I got a lot of family and friends in KC, so I'm happy. And they're definitely exciting to watch, that's for sure, man.
What about in the NBA, Cedric? You know, LeBron coming to L.A., is that a good thing for the league? Bad thing? You excited about that? I know you like LeBron James.
Yeah, I was really excited about that, as you know, especially living here because, of course, basketball had just kind of really got so humdrum. And at least he brought a lot of excitement to the city. We know that it's going to take a few moves. And, of course, you know, we know how the league is kind of set up where you got to have almost three perennial all-stars on the team to make it work. So we know that, you know, next year's, you know, free agency draft is really about, you know, getting LeBron here now and then getting, you know, we thought, you know, that Paul George might have came this year or maybe Kawhi, but it's still an opportunity for these pieces to be moved around to where you feel like eventually Laker basketball going to be back to its old, you know, the old glory days of Magic, Kareem, and Worthy, and all those guys, you know.
Now, Rob thinks nobody wants to play with LeBron. What you think about that?
Well, I'm going to do this, Cedric, before he answers. Nobody seems to want to come. Every time it's a guy who's available, you know, Paul George is from L.A. He didn't want to come. He didn't even – they had a better chance getting Boy George than Paul George. Then Kawhi Leonard didn't want it. Kyrie left him. I don't know, Cedric. He don't seem to be able to attract anybody.
I don't know if that's quite a LeBron issue. I think that, again, most of these guys, you know, we live in a space where these guys, they know they just can't outshine them. That's like literally somebody asking me to go be in a movie with Will Smith. You got to know that you're getting ready to be the second dude. That's a hard thing for somebody to just decide they want to do. But if you want a ring, then I'm assuming you're going to – I don't know what Paul George thinks he about to do in OKC. That ain't going to happen. I don't care how long he there. So if you want a ring, that ain't going to happen, bro. You ain't coming out of there. You need LeBron. So, you know, and Kawhi, I get it. He's a different kind of personality. But I think that becomes, their, you know, those kind of situations where people need this ideology that they need to be the one with the shine on them. and you just can't get that with LeBron standing next to you.
Cedric, do you ever get your humor from sports? And what's some examples of, like, your favorite pieces that you've gotten from sports, if that's the case?
Definitely out of the situation that, you know, that happened. You know, I usually do. I had all had kind of stuff. I just remember when the whole back with the Kobe and the Shaq thing. I used to do this whole joke about. I used to have a joke about Shaq talking about he want to retire from police and retire from basketball and be a cop. I'm like, he's too big to be a cop. You know, I say again. He walk up to your car and his stuff dangling all in your window.
I saw that. Yeah.
I've had stuff about. Tiger Woods, you know, when he started doing golf, as all these black people started to play golf now, they want to get your golf cart and run to the store. And, you know, I'll be back. Man, it ain't like it's your cart, you know.
I remember you did when Zab Judah got knocked out, too.
Oh, yeah.
Don't, what'd you say? Drink your milk or something.
Don't ever play with the matches.
Hey, Cedric, I'm thinking about going on stage and doing 5 minutes. I always wanted to do it. And what advice would you give me? I'm not going to do, like, sports heavy. You know what I mean about being a sports analyst.
Yes.
But I want to do it, and I'm thinking about doing it. What advice would you have for me? What's the best way? Just draw off personal experiences?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you want to do the things that make you laugh, that you probably said in conversation with some friends that, you know, you definitely got a good response and a great laugh. If you remember some of those things that you've said, like, a couple of times, those are the ones you go out with and kind of warm the crowd up with things that you kind of tested in environments before where it wasn't, like, just your friends.
Right.
And then it's all about, you know, having personal kind of personal stories and trusting them. When you go on stage, the biggest thing is that you got to trust that the audience doesn't know what to expect. But if you believe in it, you can get them to laugh at it long as you believe, like, you sell it to them like this really real. Like, they going to love it.
Say you. I mean, I'm not just saying this. You've been one of my favorite comedians for a while. I saw
kissing
you in
up,
New Jersey.
Kiss,
no,
kiss,
I'm just
kiss,
dropping
kiss,
facts.
Kiss, kiss.
Giving the noob some love. I saw you in Jersey at NJ Pack. Who's your favorite comedian of all time? And who are some of the guys you took from and learned from?
Probably for me would be my favorite is Eddie Murphy. Doug, like, he was my favorite. He just was, like, the best at so many things. Stand-up, TV, film, always give you something in every movie, always deliver. Then, as a stand-up, it was the late Robin Harris, Bebe Kids.
Yep.
He was the first comedian that I recognized that, you know, just looked like a regular dude. He delivered like your uncle, like your cousin. And I was like, oh, you can do comedy like that. That's when I realized and believed that I could do it. So, he definitely was probably one of the greatest influences for me. But then after that, it's just a wider range. I'm a big fan of comedy everywhere. So, I mean, I love them all, man. Billy Crystal, Robin Williams, Chris Rock, Chappelle, all of my guys I dig a lot, man. I would go see them anytime.
I also loved Red Fox. Were you into Red Fox? I mean, on television, obviously.
I mainly got on the Red from, of course, Sanford and Son. And, you know, I went back and listened to a couple of his live albums. And, again, he just was amazing. Delivery, style, wrote a million jokes. You know, that's the thing about God, you know, people like him. Just such a legend of the craft. Like, he just wrote joke after joke. So, you know, he remind me more of, like, people like Cat Williams and where they just, they freestyle and they just kind of say what's popping and just kind of keep it going and able to be inside that moment immediately.
Well said, man. We appreciate your time joining us on the iCouple. We'll be checking you out on The Neighborhood. That airs every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on CBS. And I can't wait to see it. You're also doing the Comedy Get Down tour with D.L. Hughley, George Lopez, and Eddie Griffin. Tickets on sale now. Yeah, that looks like a great show.
Yeah, that's a legendary show right there, too, man. appreciate joining y'all, man. You guys are all right. You know that. And yo, yo, Chris.
All right, brother. Finu.
Cause I'm tight.
You see Rob. You see Rob think he funny, man.
I'm trying.
You
see? I see him. He's going to be go and rock that stage, dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, y'all. I'll holler.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I want to say that there's a new contender in the AFC.
And prisoner that is, of the
no,
moment.
No, 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 no,
prisoner
no.
Of
the Houston,
the moment.
Texas dismantled,
prisoner of the moment.
Dismantled your Miami Dolphins last night for their fifth consecutive victory. And I'm not saying they're as good as the Rams. I'm not saying they're a top three team in the NFL. But I'm saying in the AFC, where you've got New England, you've got a Kansas City, both very good teams who I would put ahead of Houston, but their defenses, not very good. Pittsburgh trying to make a run. I'm throwing Houston up in there. Am I picking them to win the AFC? No. But I'm throwing them in there as one of the best teams in the AFC. Am I wrong?
I mean, if you look at Miami fell off the charts.
That was your team. You said they when they went to play New England.
They didn't
you said
show
they
up.
Didn't, they haven't showed up in like 4 weeks.
Well, but they didn't
they haven't showed up since then.
They never got off the bus in that game. That was the most ridiculous thing. And they
that's
were,
who they are, man.
They were,
that's who they are.
And
they were a weak old team.
They were 3-0, I think, when they went up to Miami.
Yeah, they
went up
started
to New England.
Off looking good.
Right.
But
that's right.
Thanks, Denny.
Thanks, Denny. Yeah, Denny Green's right on that.
That's right.
Because they wind up being that. I love that. But I'm just but I don't know.
You got a nice defense.
You
gotta like this. Now they just lost Fuller.
Hey Rob G,
the receiver. That's
can we look
hurt.
Over those five wins? Just help refresh me with the five wins. I just want to see who they beat. Because
all right, they beat Miami. Say what you want about Miami,
I mean,
but
you got
to
play on the schedule, but I'm just saying.
They beat Jacksonville.
Okay.
That's your favorite team.
Yeah, that was just they laid an egg that day.
What? Every time one of your teams loses, they didn't show up. They laid an egg. They took them lightly.
That was a bad day at the office.
Jacksonville's another one that hadn't showed
just
up
keep
in
going.
Weeks.
Let me see what else you got.
Buffalo. I'm
terrible.
Not excited. All right, I'll give you that one. Dallas, I mean.
Terrible.
Dallas actually took them to overtime.
Isn't,
all right.
Isn't Dak,
Indianapolis.
Isn't Dak Prescott the quarterback? Terrible.
Indianapolis. You're right. Okay, so they haven't. But they beat Jacksonville and Miami the last 2 weeks.
I understand.
And Deshaun Watson is just getting better and better. He's starting through 5 touchdowns last night. Completed 16 of 20 passes. He's beginning to look like that guy that took the league by storm last year before
he got hurt. I
understand
he played great before he got hurt and everybody thought he had reinvented the quarterback position and all that. And then he fell back to start the season. It looks like he's getting his footing, right?
For sure.
It does. But I'm just – there's something about that team that just – I'm just not convinced. Now, as you look at their schedule, Chris, give me some of their next games that I could take a litmus test to say if they were able to beat – or did they play Kansas City? What do they have up next – that I could really take a look and see where they are. Because I don't, the Dolphins just don't do anything for me, and they caught the Jacksonville Jaguars in a funk. So those two wins just didn't do anything for me. I'm not moved by Houston.
It's always an excuse. In a funk.
It's called good analysis work.
All right,
that's what it's called.
They got the Broncos.
Another bad team. Okay, there's 6 wins in a row.
Redskins.
Another bad team.
I mean, look,
team.
The NFL is full of bad teams, though. They're playing who's on the schedule. The Titans.
Another bad team.
The Browns. The
Another
Colts.
Bad team.
The Jets.
Another
wow,
bad team.
They do it. And look, but that just goes to show they could have a really good record.
They can.
They
Eagles can win nine,
and the Jaguars they end the season with.
They can win 9 games easily, right, on with that schedule.
Easily. I mean, let's look at their schedule. You got.
Easily. They could.
The Broncos. That should be a W. That'd be 6. The Redskins, I mean, we'll see, but. Yeah, the Titans, I'd say that should be a win. 7, the Browns, 8, the Colts, 9, the Jets, 10. They could win 10 games. Then you got the Eagles and the Jags, and we'll see where they are at that point.
Right. Those might be the games. I get why you're feeling good about them and you're putting them in because there's so many bad teams.
And that's the thing, man. It's just like, golly, the league is full of bad teams.
It's amazing at, you know, you have like just a handful of really good teams. Everybody else is in the middle of the pack. So when you run off 5 wins in a row,
you got to give them some props, right?
You look at them and say, are they there? I don't know if other people are buying into the Texans or thinking that they're going to make a run at New England in the AFC or Kansas City. I still look at them as below them. Even I still look at them below Jacksonville, and I really do. I'm serious, Chris.
You still have New England below Jacksonville.
I still think that and we had – who do we have on the other day? Tony Boselli? Do you remember that?
Yep.
And he said, look at Jacksonville. He said, before you really write them off, they haven't been able to run the ball, and the quarterback's been turning the ball over, giving other teams short fields. But he told me, he said something like, they've only given up 6 passing touchdowns. We're 7 games into the season. That's unbelievable for defense. And where are they defensively now? Are they in the middle of the pack,
Jacksonville?
Yeah, where are they?
They're giving up 20.9 points a game. But where that's going to be.
But where are they yards-wise?
Well, I'd rather go points per game, but yardage-wise.
Total defense.
Yeah, they're sixth.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's unbelievable that they're still in the top 6. Would you agree with that?
I'm not buying you. I'm not jumping on your Jacksonville bandwagon. You act like Blake Bortles is just some little part of the Jacksonville thing that's not a big deal. That's their quarterback.
But the other part is you got to admit that Fournette not being able to run the football and being injured has hurt and put too much pressure. You needed a running game.
Is Leonard Fournette back?
No.
You think Carlos Hyde going
to
be that big?
Well, but they did. They made a move to try to make something happen. They got to run the football for that team.
Well, let me throw this at you. Because, look, we can talk about total yards and all that the defense gives up. And that's somewhat important. That has its effects.
Where's their total yards,
but really,
yards, right?
I would like to look at points you allow, points per game. Because that's what determines the game. I mean, New England gives up a lot of yards. But they're like, we're going to try to stop you from scoring.
Yeah, but
we
they
might
give up points.
New England gives up points. But here's my point. Jacksonville's 8th in the league in points allowed, 20.9. Guess who they're tied with? Houston.
But Houston hasn't played anybody.
But they given. But I'm just saying right there.
I understand what you're
saying.
They're
both at 20.9. So,
but I bet you if you look at
Houston's got a better quarterback. Would you give me that?
Yes.
And they got DeAndre Hopkins, who made this fantastic catch.
He's a great receiver.
Last night.
He's a great receiver.
So I think the Texans, again, I'm picking New England in the AFC. I love Kansas City much better than the Texans. But I'm just saying I think it's time for us to – start giving them a little bit of love because they could end up having a really nice season. And your boy Blake Bortles, speaking of Jacksonville, he said to Michael Silver of Sports Illustrated recently that he is a scapegoat. Let me read the direct quote. Put on my reading glasses.
You can't even see them.
I don't need them yet. I'm trying to read my chicken scratch.
Use my glasses. These are reading glasses. They're not.
Well, it's not, the problem is not the glasses. It's my chicken.
He can't
scratch.
Even get his own notes. he was a reporter for the New York Times.
I have my own version of shorthand. All right, here it is.
Rob G has it.
I'm the scapegoat for this team. All right. When we play good, it's the defense play well. The running backs did good. The receivers made great plays.
Yep.
When we play bad, it's Blake Bortles is the worst quarterback on the face of the planet.
Yep.
I agree with Blake. You are not the worst quarterback on the face of the planet. Nathan Peterman still walks the earth. He still walks the earth. So, no, Blake, you're right. You are not the worst quarterback on the face of the planet. But – he is not the scapegoat either. A scapegoat is one that's wrongfully accused. A scapegoat is one that takes the blame for other people's shortcomings. So we talked about it with Luke Walton. If the Lakers get off to a bad start, it's not necessarily going to be Luke Walton's fault, but he could end up being the one that bites the dust because he would be the scapegoat. Blake Bortles is not being criticized and getting any more blame than he deserves. And Leonard Fournette's absence has nothing to do with you coughing up the football.
I'll agree with that from the standpoint. I get what he's saying, and he's right. Last year, he did go into Pittsburgh and blow.
You keep bringing up last year.
No, but I'm just. But
when
Chris,
did last year ever win a game?
But Chris, you gotta be honest. Last year, he went into Pittsburgh and blew them out.
So did Nick Foles was awesome last year.
No,
so
but,
what?
But
when
I'm
the
just,
last thing time Nick Foles did anything?
But I understand what he's saying. Like he played pretty well, and they were up 20-10. In the fourth quarter, and the defense couldn't hold
you
Tom Brady.
You keep bringing up last
no,
year.
No, he's been
it's
bad.
New, should we bring up last year with Deshaun Watson before he threw 5 touchdowns the other day? Last night? I mean, come on. I don't want to hear about last year. These are all professional athletes. They're all capable of having some great games here and there. And Blake Bortles is no different. What I need is consistency. What separates the great ones from the good, mediocre, or poor ones is consistency. And Blake Bortles, the only thing he does consistently is turn the ball over.
That's this year. You're right. He's had a
bad
year.
Well, I don't care about last year. Unless they won a Super Bowl last year, I don't care about
Chris,
it. It's irrelevant.
Go look at, what was it, week 3 when they played the Patriots and he blew them out? 377 yards
week
and 4 touchdowns.
We're in week 7.
No.
Why can't we look at what happened last year? Because
you're a prisoner of the moment. This is the problem. What I'm trying to tell you is don't act like he didn't. Go back to that. What was that, week 2 or 3? He had an unbelievable game against week 2.
Week 2, he had 376 yards and 4 TDs against New England.
No picks.
And then the next game, he throws for 155 yards.
No, I know.
Look, he's had big games where he's thrown for almost 400 yards, and in a loss to Kansas City, he threw for 430, but he had 4 interceptions in that game. He turns it over too much. You can't rely on this guy. And I'm disappointed because I love their defense, even though they've been very bad lately. They are wasting a good defense, a great defense.
I don't disagree. When they sign him to a contract,
go out and get you a real quarterback.
When they signed him to a new contract, people thought they were crazy because there were quarterbacks to be had.
Yes.
And I would say right now, I would be more confident if you went out right now and signed Colin Kaepernick to play quarterback. Do you know what the rave would be that franchise if they did that?
No, he's better than Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles at this point.
Teddy Bridgewater. Trade for Derek Carr.
Tyrod Taylor's not doing anything.
There's a number of guys. And Tyrod doesn't make mistakes. Tyrod can be a manager and make a big play here or there. So that's why I'm writing off your boys. I know you got to stick with your pick, Philadelphia Jacksonville in the Super Bowl.
I'm not a flip-flopper, so I'm not one of those guys. I'm not going to be like – depending on who wins or loses that week, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, they're good. Oh, yeah, they stink.
So what about what is Jacksonville? 3-4 what's their record? 3-4? Not 3-4. What is it? It is 3-4, right?
3-4, I think it is.
At what point?
They're not out of it. 3-4.
At what point do you jump off the bandwagon?
I'm not jumping off.
And you can flip this. You may flip, you may flop, or you may flip-flop.
I'm not doing all of that.
All right. We got more.